Welcome to Living Life Well with Simone Thomas. Today, I have the Queen of Hugs, aka Amanda Winwood, the MD of Made for Life Organics. In 1999, Made for Life was the first UK company to achieve 100% organic certification across its entire collection from the Soil Association. This is something that is very close to my heart with my own company and my own products. It's something I will talk about a lot in a lot of my podcasts about how you can look after the body from within and for us all to start understanding that the skin is the largest organ on our bodies and whatever we put on our bodies or into our bodies can have a very positive and a very negative effect. So joining me today is Amanda, who will talk about her journey, her background as a Reiki master, a massage therapist, and what incredible things that they're doing for people that are suffering with cancer, neurological conditions, and how they are changing the world within spas and beauty therapists for the better. Guys, this is a really emotional, kind of life-changing, and makes you think and take a little step back about what we're doing in life. So guys, enjoy. And like I say, joining me is the incredible Amanda today. Welcome, guys, to Living Life Well with Simone Thomas. Today, I have the Queen of Hugs joining me from an absolutely incredible Made for Life Organics. For those of you that haven't heard of the company, please do your research and have a look at their website. They were the first company in the UK to get vegan certification with the Soil Association back in 1999. And as I've said, I have got the queen of the company and the queen of hugs, as she likes to be called on her website, joining me today to talk about COVID, the effects that it's had on us all, to talk about the products, why the products are organic and what it means, you know, to yourself as a human being, what happens when we sometimes put harsh chemicals into our body, as well as kind of the cosmetic products that we're using day to day. So guys, this is going to be an incredible journey, mainly about the skin, because guys, it is one of the largest organs of the body, in fact, the largest, and we don't realize how much that we put on our skin that gets absorbed into the body. You're going to learn a lot today. There's a lot of exciting things as well that Made for Life Organics have coming up. So for anybody that works in the beauty industry, in the spa industry, and also for those of you like myself that love to look after your skin and love to look after yourself from within, you're going to learn a lot. I know I have, from having a very good, interesting read of the website over the last couple of months, and also speaking prior to the podcast of, you know, what they've gone through as a company since 1999 and the exciting things that they've got coming for the rest of this year and into next year. So hello, Queen of Hugs.
We've finally reached a rocky start.
It has been. We've tried to record this a couple of times, guys, but due to storms and weather and Wi-Fi issues, there's been a slight delay. But we're here today, which is incredible, and it fits perfectly because October is all about breast cancer awareness. Not what your company's formed about, but again, with kind of products going into the skin and how it can affect, you know, illnesses, disease, viruses. For myself to, you know, have yourselves on board today to talk about, you know, the effects of skincare, you know, how things can be managed with cancers and other treatments and stuff as well. It's a really great time to have you on the podcast to kind of help those people that have maybe gone through cancer or know somebody, but also not to be scared, you know, to kind of check your breast, you know, look for things that are triggers and signs of things like breast cancers or anything else that's going on to the skin. And I know, you know, your background in Reiki and skincare and massage and everything that you've gone on to do over the years, we're definitely going to learn hell of a lot today.
Well, I hope so. it's quite interesting today because there's an amazing and inspiring woman who I have a lot of love for, called Chris Helenga. And Chris is the co-founder with her sister of an amazing charity called Copperfield, which was inspired to get younger women to check their boobs regularly, because I think we've got a fear about doing that, and we shouldn't. And Chris has been living with cancer for 11 years. She's about to release a book, but she had to have a second mastectomy last week. And I had a message from her this morning. She's been to the beautiful Crantock Bay Spa, where they've got one of the best therapists I've met, Patsy. And she's put it up on Instagram that she's just had the most amazing treatment using Made for Life Organics protocols and our products. And it was just such a lovely thing to get before today's conversation, really. It was things like that, alongside making the products, just make life worthwhile. So my day started in a really lovely way today. It was so nice to get this message.
No, it's lovely when that happens. And, you know, and it's like anything, when you work in a business for such a long time, those little bits of happiness and joy and kind of, you know, someone being uplifted makes it worthwhile, because naturally, especially this year, it's not been the best of years for many of us. But to know, you know, with something that you're doing day to day is helping somebody and it's kind of giving them that lift, you know, it helps with anxiety and mood and just general well-being. It does definitely make you feel quite warm and fuzzy inside when you say, like you said, you get those messages or those emails that you're making a difference to somebody.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's been interesting because the whole psychology and the belief behind Made for Life as a brand is linking people into what they put on their skin, what we think about the planet as well, and how we interact with the planet. And I think in terms of the cancer journey, probably COVID has taught a number of us some of the emotions that people who are going through cancer will experience during their own journey. That sort of feeling of isolation, of fear, of anxiety, and so on and so forth. So it's been quite an interesting time, I think, for us as human beings to understand what isolation and fear of the unknown, which we are in the age of uncertainty, because messages are changing all the time, Simone, aren't they? And the constants in life is that the world will go on and that plants and herbs will grow. And actually, if we understood at a profound level that when we link with nature, we improve our health, that's how human beings were designed. We need to be connected with the earth and with seasonal produce and herbs and flowers. So I think this time of COVID, whilst it's been undoubtedly and unquestionably pretty horrendous, I think it's also been an amazing time of learning and probably reflection for a lot of us on what's really important in life. So it's been interesting as a company as well about how do you react. And that's the joy of being a smaller company, because we're Cornish, so I feel like we're in a little sailing boat as opposed to a huge great liner, and therefore we can adapt and move, which we've done fairly effectively during this time.
It does. It definitely makes, you know, a huge difference. And funny enough, you say that I'm based in Dorset. And in the moment, we have got massive vessels literally in the, you know, in the shore where they're just not able to move. And, you know, and like you say, you know, your company is a small vessel. You adapt and you change. And I found that myself within my own business, that it is easier to be able to adapt. It's not, you know, an easy journey, but it is one that you're able to kind of make the changes and stuff as well. And I think, you know, where you're saying that people have sometimes maybe taken a step back and realize what's important. You know, I always say to people, you know, you should eat what's off the land, from the ocean and from the trees. If it doesn't come from those three, don't go near it. And it's the same with kind of skincare, with lifestyle. One part that I loved about lockdown was how calm, you know, the ocean seemed and the sand seemed so clear. And it was beautiful to be able to go for those little walks and it just be very, very calm and a lot more, you know, ocean life coming back in. And then typically when we're allowed back out again, we've just gone and destroyed it. There was litter everywhere. everywhere. And that's been really, really sad to see, because to me, it felt like the earth was breathing again. You know, it sounded like it was actually having its sigh of relief where we do, because we just weren't doing all the things that we tend to do day to day. But typically, a lot of people went back out there and kind of destroyed that calmness that had kind of happened in the world for those 3-4 months, and unfortunately destroyed it a little bit. And it's a bit like our bodies, you know, it's our bodies need to breathe, and we need to be kind of clear of what we're putting into our bodies and look after it like we, you know, the majority of us would do nature and wildlife and the ocean. But a lot of people don't do that. And that's where, when you go onto your website, you've got your 3 pillars, which is very, very important to your brand and your ethos. And for myself, I have like 7 pillars for people for hair loss and stuff. But you've got 3 incredible kind of statements, don't you, that's about kind of the 3 pillars of health and wellness and the brand.
Yeah. And actually, so we are all about authentic organic well-being, and always have been. It's been fascinating because we've been going since 2003 and have seen all sorts of changes. And I always remember a conversation way back when, because we don't add water to any products, because the minute you add water to a product, you need to add a humectant, which will join up the water molecules to the oil molecules. And there are no real natural humectants that are readily available. There are some, but it was very difficult and still is very difficult. Well, you can't, basically in a nutshell, you can't achieve 100% organic if you add water, because you have to add a humectant. You can achieve a level of organic. But our decision was to actually stick to our ethics in spite of people saying, oh, you need to make more of a type of cream and so on and so forth. And there was to be honest, Simone, I just thought, well, I can't be authentic and stand up in front of people and say, yeah, and actually go around and eat my products, which they all use food grade ingredients. And there's something about just keeping it real. So we haven't changed the way that we hand blend in small batches in Cornwall. There's something about taking time as well. So we aren't a large factory that churns out lots of products. We still have our lab, which is based at the Health and Wellbeing Innovation Centre in Cornwall, which is based in Truro. And our whole process is to take dried herbs and flowers, all certified organic. And actually, what we do is we blend them and we put them into, we steep them in jojoba oil or olive oil predominantly for a full biodynamic cycle. What does that mean? Well, people did laugh at me and probably thought I was a lunatic hippie back in 2000. But, you know, I still have got my belief that the best things in life just take time. And what happens on a scientific basis is when you immerse the herbs and flowers that we use into an oil, then all of the qualities, the chemicals within each plant, all are absorbed into the oil, and then we hand press everything. So there's something about churning stuff out very quickly, and there's something about mindfully taking time to make things, and appreciation of the herbs and flowers that we use. And I've never been able to move away from that as a brand. And actually, I'm very lucky because the people that we work with, both within the Made for Life team, but also within spas and our customers, kind of get it. And I think the one thing we've noticed during COVID, Simone, is that we've done a lot of research, but suddenly I think people are much more interested in sustainability and some of the strong messaging that we have around the brand. We've noticed about a 25% increase on our online sales now from people who just want the truth, want to understand what they're buying, and actually do give a damn about this amazing planet instead of doing the things like chucking masks away in the street and polluting what we have. So it's an interesting, and I think potentially, as you've quite rightly said, what I experience and see is almost a division of people who, some don't give a damn, and will just throw stuff in the street or throw it in rivers, and it affects wildlife. And some people really, really do give a damn. And actually, there's a massive appreciation of how our health is linked into, as you quite rightly say, eating from the earth, using skincare from the earth, and understanding that we're an amazing organism. And so the skin is a receptor to touch and also what we put on it. So it's all part of an integrated health system, as far as I'm concerned. And when you eat produce that's from the land, there's an energy connection as well. So as a Reiki master, I'm also interested in that connection. So my theory is that Einstein had to be a bit of a clever chap, because if we understand the concepts around energy, then we would absolutely understand inextricably that we are linked to the earth and everything it provides for us.
No, it's very true. And, you know, when you talk about Reiki earlier and energy, I train in bioenergetics, and a lot of people can't get their head around how you can read a body through energy, or, you know, your personal kind of, you know, DNA through your hair, your saliva and your nails. And especially when it brings up things from childhood, they don't get how something would be found. But our bodies are like sat navs, you know, just because we don't remember, they do, you know, because naturally as the years go by, or, you know, we go from childhood to teenagehood to adulthood, naturally you're going to forget things, but your body still holds on to that energy, whether it's, you know, good energy or bad or happy or sad, it is still stuck in the body somewhere. But we just create these little boxes that we hide things away. And it's kind of being mindful and aware of what you're doing day to day. And it's not saying, you know, having a boring life, it's about the choices that you make. And, you know, are you one of those people that, you know, put your bin in a mask, or are you ones that just throws it on the pavement? Are you one of these people that are going to go to a party after 10 o'clock now, you know, and then have a massive house party? Or are you going to abide kind of by the current rules to make whatever it is that we're going through specifically now a better and safer place for us for the long run? And like you said, there's a huge divide of how people are feeling, how they're expressing themselves and what they feel is right for them. And it's the same with your body. You know, all of us are different, and that's what makes us incredibly amazing as human beings. You know, we're all unique, but a lot of us try to be like others, but it is trying to be the best version of you and being good to the planet and being good to, you know, the human race and stuff as well, and having an understanding that everything has a knock-on effect, and you want that knock-on effect to be a positive one, not a negative one. And where you mentioned earlier about kind of touch and feeling, where, you know, you specialize as well in Reiki, you have something rather exciting that's kind of been put together through this horrific time that's going to be a huge benefit for people that have been suffering with cancer or going through cancer, which you mentioned earlier before we kind of went live. It's actually now been brought forward to November. So kind of tell us a little bit more about that, because when we spoke before this, to me, that's a huge benefit for people, and definitely with what we've gone through, where a lot of people with cancer just haven't been able to go out or even see people. So what you've been kind of putting in place is really going to change their life, I believe.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I think it is. So as you and I discussed when we had our first lovely chat, I have always believed that wellness should be accessible to everyone. I don't think it should be an exclusive thing. And I think spas have often been seen as a space that is only for a certain sector of the market. So if I just rewind and give a bit of a story, because I, as you know, used to be the co-managing director of a hotel down in Cornwall. And what happened was we had people coming through the door who were going through cancer. And there was a real fear of treating people with cancer. So training within beauty schools has been for a long, long time has contraindicated cancer and said, don't touch anyone with cancer. And I was very fortunate to work with a group of people who were experts in their field. And what we did as a team is we put together a really well-researched cancer touch therapy training program. So what's happened is originally when this started, 96% of spas were and salons were turning away people with cancer, which is horrendous, really, on many levels, not least of which for the person who gets turned away when they probably most need a beautiful, gentle touch.
It has quite a psychological effect, doesn't it? You feel like you've got a disease that's going to be caught, and it's not a nice feeling at all.
Absolutely. So, you know, Chris Pellengra, as I mentioned earlier, she's been turned away from so many spas, and it's the psychological effects for her have been horrible. So what we did is we, first of all, we launched Cancer Touch Therapy as a training program. We've pioneered that, and we've been doing that now for several years. And it's lovely because there are a number of other training providers within the UK who do that. I've been working with an amazing group, including Sue Harmsworth, who's the founder of S-Bar, and I have to say, is a top-totty woman, which I really like. She's amazing. And what we've done is, as a team, we've put together a standards authority for training in cancer care, which means that there have been some variables in that. And some people have been just offering a one-day training program for people to be able to massage people with cancer. That's impossible to do the job properly, in my opinion. However, so it's been rolled out, Simone, and we've had lots of spas. We're down to, allegedly, the figure is down to still about 90% of spas will still turn people away. Yeah. So we've got a lot of work to do. But the issue starts with colleges not training therapists effectively in the first place. So I've been working on a project for a while and talking to this fantastic group of colleges, White Rose Colleges, who have got the highest Ofsted ratings in the UK for colleges that specialise in beauty and well-being. And just before we had this this lovely conversation today, I heard from them that not only have they confirmed that they are going to launch our touch therapy training into their colleges. It was due to be launched in January, and we were going to train at least 150 therapists are going to leave college from these amazing colleges with the team there. Karen Lee Cook is the very inspiring leader, but they've actually brought it forward. So we will be doing our first training, and it's all moved online so that the students still can access the training with the final sort of practical assessment in college. But it's all happening, and that's going to be a first. So instead of colleges churning out amazing therapists who, when they meet somebody with cancer, have the face of fear, as I would call it, they're going to be sending highly qualified therapists who can walk into any spa or salon or set up on their own, and they're going to be able to welcome anybody in through the doors. And I feel very emotional about it because it's been something I've wanted for so long. And I guess COVID was almost a trigger for it happening even more, because lots of people have not had cancer treatment during COVID because they've been too scared to go into a hospital and all of that kind of thing. So the fact that some of our spas who've retrained are already welcoming people in going through cancer, and this is going to extend into colleges, is, I'm just really, really happy about it. So yeah, you're the first to hear. So
exclusive, guys. No, it is. I mean, I have a lot of cancer clients that come into our hair salon and hair loss clinic, either to obviously, unfortunately, shave the hair before it falls out, or to then look for a hair loss system, or in some to try and get the hair to grow back after. And a lot of them, like you say, can't even, or they've been turned away from a salon for having a wash and blow dry, you know, because they said, and then they think, oh, you know, there's a risk of, you know, your neck breaking or causing, you know, damage to bones and stuff. But it's like you say, it all comes down to educating and knowing what you can and can't do, and to give somebody, you know, that last amazing blow dry before their hair falls out in a couple of weeks. You know, it lifts them, you know, they can go out for that one last night that they feel like themselves before they need to wear a wig, or, you know, before their skin starts to get dry, or they start to feel sick or tired that they just don't want to be doing the same things. And you really do give them a new lease of life. So to be able to go into a place or have somebody come to you to just give you that touch and that sensation, which we all need. You know, it's like having a baby that's crying in a cot and you just leave it to cry. It wants a hug. It wants to be embraced. You know, it wants to have its hand stroked or its face touched. It's the same when you're going through any illness. You don't want to be told, oh, no, sorry, you can't come in for that today. Or sorry, you know, we don't have anything to treat you or whatever, because all of a sudden you just feel like there's something wrong with you, which it shouldn't be that case. And then all of that can cause anxiety, depression. It can make your treatment not go as well as it should do. So it's absolutely incredible, you know. And I know, obviously, talking because we're on video, I could see, you know, how emotional you were, you know, your eyes were looking up in the eyes. And, you know, you really do care. You know, it is still a passion of yours now, you know, over 20 years that, you know, this has been something, like you said, that you've worked on for such a long time. And for it to be brought forward into a year that's been a pretty horrible year, it's amazing. You know, it truly is. And you should feel very, very proud. And it's definitely probably something that you're going to remember forever, because it's something that was very much needed in the industry for sure.
Oh, well, thank you. And yeah, I feel that it is, as you say, it's something that if I think about my life and think of things that I've done with my life, because I've done quite a lot because I'm in my late 50s now, this has been the most rewarding thing. And the interesting thing with the whole, and you said something very interesting there, Simone, because you talked about a baby needing a hug. And so when I describe how touch therapy works, and interestingly enough, we've done a lot of research on what happens on a neuroscientific basis when you touch somebody. So the issue you've got is that deep tissue massage is often inappropriate for people who've had cancer. It is contraindicated, yeah, especially if people have had lymph nodes removed. So touch therapy is so much slower, and I describe it when I'm doing training and when we go out into the industry. I describe it as my mum. When I was upset, my mum used to stroke my hair, and it was that just you know, that lovely, soft, gentle, slow touch.
Yeah.
So touch therapy works like that. So it's not a deep tissue massage, but actually what we've done, and we've done some amazing work with Plymouth University. We did a knowledge transfer program with them. And I'm very lucky. I work with a fantastic guy, Dr. Neil Carpenter, who's a biochemist and academic. And we've done a lot of research to actually look at what happens to people on a psychological basis and a physiological basis when you apply a really slow, gentle touch. So you will absolutely achieve the same muscle relaxation and actually improve your immune system from having a slow, really nurturing, calming treatment, as you will do from any rigorous massage. In fact, we found that the effects of touch therapy have worked really well on people with anxiety and stress and so on. So it's something that I don't want to be seen as an exclusive thing for people with cancer. It enables people with cancer to come in. But equally, anybody who's in fear or has gone through trauma, we've had people with PTSD come in who've actually had the treatment and had a look at an MRI scans pre and post it. And it's really fascinating what happens, and what happens too on an olfactory basis, because obviously we use and we infuse herbs and flowers. Yeah. So they're all chosen for a specific reason as well, not just for the actual beautiful chemical components within the plant, but also for the scent. So we've done we did a really brilliant piece of research with Dr. Lorena Lizarraga, who was part of the knowledge transfer program. And we've just published a clinically approved paper all around the essential oils and how they work. So there's some amazing research. I get very excited about all this stuff. It's fantastic. So, yeah.
No, I do. And weirdly, where you say linking to health, I know, like my boy's father, he has a tumor of the pituitary. And from a very young age, for some reason, he always suffered with headaches. But if you used to squeeze his big toe, it would kind of take that pain away. And it's still the case now, you know, 43, 44 years of age, that the big toe somehow releases the pain and kind of the tension that he gets in his brain. But he always had that from a young age, and it's always, oh, can you squeeze my toe? And it's not a massage. It's just literally a very, very soft squeezing motion, which when you kind of look, I'm not sure of the correct word, but kind of like the map of the body, the big toe is linked to kind of the pituitary. So it's really interesting that from whatever age he was to when he then actually had the brain tumor later on in life, it's the same thing that actually helps relieve the pain. And it's crazy how the body is very, very connected, you know, and how these things can kind of work. And it's not about going in with pain and aggression and deep tissue. It's just that very, very soft stroking or gentle, you know, application of pressure that can probably relieve a lot more than going for deep tissue. Because I know when I go, I'm having to like hold my breath and think, I really want to scream, but I can't. And they're saying, oh, you're relaxed. And I'm thinking, I'm not relaxed. I'm thinking about the food shopping and the laundry. But when somebody's, you know, doing something very calming or telling you how to breathe and pushing with your, you know, your breath, it's a very different level and also very spiritual. You know, you really can sometimes clear some of the dead wood, if we want to call it that, when you're going through those kind of therapies, because you are breathing and it's kind of like yourself and the therapist are one. You're not two people meeting on a bed. They kind of become you and they kind of work with your body, if that makes sense as well.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. And I think that's probably where we're different. So as a brand, I love people. Of course, I love people buying and enjoying Made for Life skincare. But the way we train is person-led, not product-led. Yeah. So I'm interested in therapists, and I'm interested in making sure that they feel empowered to actually be able to connect with whoever is in front of them on a much deeper level, and not to think, oh, I've got to do a routine here and this is how I do it because I've been trained, I have to do this product here and this type of tapping thing here. It's a nonsense, because we're all very individual. So what we've really pushed, and again, it's really launched during COVID, as I said, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to, I don't want to do it anymore. And I don't want to fit in. Yeah. So what we've really pushed is just for people to start a treatment with a conversation.
Yeah.
Not a chat.
No.
So there is a difference between a conversation and a chat. And actually to say, well, you've booked this length of time for me. These are the type of things that will be included. But how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel at the end of this treatment? And that connection, I think, and empowering therapists to be able to do what they're absolutely brilliant at instead of having to be restricted is an absolute mission and goal of Made for Life as well. It's another of my missions is, come on, let's empower these amazing therapists to actually feel that they're confident and they can go and connect. And there is something about energy following thought as well. So as a Reiki master, I can't help but tune in to anybody that I look after. And so that's an intrinsic part of our training is guiding therapists to actually be able to just connect and for them to do some self-care too, Simone. I mean, I've seen so many therapists who just give so much and don't look after themselves. So part of what we do is just go,
yeah, breathe.
Just breathe. And, yeah. And you know, there's, as you said, you know, you get therapists saying, right, I'd like you to take three deep breaths. And, you know, there's, don't do that. Yeah. If you're going to do it yourself, walk the walk. So it's been really interesting integrating that, and also integrating the ability to, because as you all know, the olfactory works on an incredible basis, and if you smell something, it'll go straight crosses all the boundaries and just will trigger a memory or a feeling straight away. So the integration of touch and the scent of of beautifully made oils is, it's not surprising. It helps people be well. That's the goal. Yeah,
it does. And I actually give it to my two sons. So Ashy suffers with quite a bit with anxiety, or used to when he was younger, because I used to spend a lot of time away and I was never around as such in the week. And he always used to get a fear of me going away or would, you know, whatever. And again, I've used like essential oils or massage into his feet and kind of make like his own little spa ritual, you know, with a nice Epsom bath salt. And it's not anything interactive, no TV. It's kind of, you know, cuddles and a book. And then I always kind of call it his like foot cream, which is like made with, you know, essential oils. And, you know, it tickles, but he enjoys it. And then he has the most incredible sleep, you know, and he actually rolls over and tells me, "Mummy, I'm tired, you can go now," instead of me having to lie next to him for 3 hours. But it relaxes him. And again, it's that very, very gentle touch. Instead of just a hug, it's that nice little foot massage and, you know, and wiggling his toes and, you know, and his ankles and massaging them. And he probably needs it because he's quite tall for his age and he gets a lot of leg pain. So it's a nice way of kind of relaxing him and stuff as well. But I know, you know, my mum, bless her, sort of, you know, 15 years ago, maybe longer now, she was diagnosed with motor neurons disease, and I was only sort of 17 at the time, and then she passed away when I was 27. But there was nothing around then, you know, sort of 15, 20 years ago for, you know, anybody with motor neurons disease, let alone cancers or other neurological issues. And again, she used to get turned away even from having like a leg wax. You know, it was always like, "Oh no, sorry, that's on our white clipboard and nope, we can't see you," and stuff. So for somebody to be able to walk in and have treatment, and it's, you know, not, you know, "How's your day today?" It's like, right, you tell me about you. What's your path been like? What have you gone through? What's brought you here today? And how are you feeling now? And how would you love to feel at the end of it? And it's like a journey instead of, like you're saying, a clipboard kind of answer, yes and no. It's probably spend more time to get to know that person at the beginning and then create kind of like a treatment plan long term that's going to lift them, and it's actually going to work with their bodies as well. And it's not just what you've come out of college or, you know, university with a clipboard and, you know, a yes no answer. It's actually learning about the individual. With Reiki, it's, you know, as a therapist you do absorb energy, you know, and some people have incredible energy and some don't. You know, don't get me wrong, like there's, you know, huge mixes, and you have to protect yourselves whenever you're working with the general public or you're, you know, in a touching environment. You have to protect yourself, and, you know, they call it like the cloak of protection or whatever. It's very different in different backgrounds. But you then need to work on you, definitely, as a therapist, that you're not just absorbing all the energy, because you will, you know, you'll melt down, you'll break down yourselves because you're giving away all your incredible energy. And eventually, a bit like a battery, it's starts to kind of deplete. So you have to recharge yourself and you have to kind of take time out. Is that something that you still do now? Do you work on yourself on a weekly or a monthly basis, or do you book time in your diary, or is it literally when you can kind of find the time that you kind of work on yourself as well?
That's a really, really good question. And actually, COVID made me go back to, I work on a daily basis now. Yeah. And I think people go, "Oh my God, I can't do that on a daily basis. It's all too much." But you can. So, you know, I practice self-Reiki every day. It becomes part of my meditation, and I can really tell if I haven't done it. So it's been a regular practice. I always go for a walk now every day, and or a run. So because and I think in part, you know, it's I'm 58 now, and I want my 60s and my 70s to be, I want to be well. And so if I don't invest the time in my own self-care, then I'm going to be the one who doesn't achieve what I want to achieve in health terms, mentally and physically. And running a business, as you know, is not an easy thing. It's juggling lots of stuff. So I am committed to give myself time every day to do something that makes me feel better. Now, I'm in Spain at the moment, so it could be just as simple as, well, we've got a 12th century farmhouse here and it's absolutely peaceful, and at some stage we'll be running some retreats here, but it might be that I just take a walk in the woods. That we own a hill opposite, and it might be that I just go and take a 30-minute walk, or it could be something just as simple as sitting and having a cup of tea with a slice of lemon that's come from one of the trees and just listening to the sounds of the birds or the breeze rustle through the trees. And, you know, even that simple link for a couple of minutes is a good thing, instead of incessantly looking at social media and checking what the hell everybody else is doing. There's just something about looking after ourselves on a micro level, I call it, because on a macro level, if we look at, well, how can I make change to this world because there's so much going on, I think you could be overwhelmed by it. But actually, if we all take time to think about ourselves, and as you said right at the start of this conversation about our integration with our bodies and eating healthily. So, you know, there's amazing fresh produce here and there's a local market. So I tend to go there and with the Hubster and stock up there, and we love cooking. So, yeah, I think COVID has possibly, if we've learned anything, it's that COVID is an unpleasant viral disease. And the best way to deal with any form of unpleasant disease of any form is to look after your own immunity by looking after yourself. It's not complicated. It's really simple. And by reducing the amount of chemicals that we're exposed to, by eating good, healthy, nutritious food, and actually being with people that we love and care for, and spending time, because time is precious. How do you spend that time? How do you spend that time? Yeah. And what do you want? Because people say, oh, I want to be happy. Happy is a transient thing. You can't be happy all the time. But actually finding contentment is a very beautiful thing, to be content. And I think that if you look after yourself properly, then you can attain contentment, that's going to definitely be really good for you and your immunity.
True. And like you were saying earlier, a lot of people, you know, go to social media or they just can't switch off. Like, I love my own space. Like, it's one of my things that I love. I love to just be by myself and I don't even have to be doing anything. You know, where my eldest the other day is like, oh, I don't like being by myself, mummy. And I was like, but you will. You're going to learn to love yourself. You're going to learn to just be able to switch off and kind of just not do anything. And like you were saying, take a breath or listen to the birds or, you know, I love hot water and lemons. So there you were mentioning about the lemons. I'm thinking, right, I'm going to come over because that's a daily ritual for me. I love hot water and lemon. But again, you know, all the food that I try to eat is organic, because it's something I touched upon in another podcast with a lady called Barbara Cox that grew up with organic produce and working on the farms and understanding about chemicals. It's not about trying to look, you know, wealthy or posh or whatever, saying, oh, I only eat organic, darling. It's not. It's kind of understanding the chemicals and how, you know, fruit and veg, you know, are the same absorbency as us and our skin of what's absorbed and what goes into it. And no amount of water or vegetable wash is going to get rid of those chemicals. So it's all about kind of what you put in, and everything builds up, you know. So if you're eating bad food, you might suffer with bad skin, you'll be tired, you're not going to sleep well, you have things like anxiety, depression, you can sometimes attract more illnesses or disease because it just has a knock-on effect. So it is all about kind of being mindful about what's around you and what you're able to kind of do. And obviously being where you are, you're going to have beautiful markets and amazing sunshine and fresh air. But we've all got that. It's just about taking the time to go and find it and taking time for yourself, which all of us have the same amount of hours in the days of the week, but it's just how you choose that wisely. And I know that there was a guy called Hal Elrod that wrote The Miracle Morning. And I read that years ago, and it was all about kind of being selfish in yourself and having time, whether it's an hour a day, but you choose how you spend that hour on you, whether it was just sat in silence or learning a language or, you know, listening to your favorite music or taking a walk. It was that 1 hour that was going to recharge your body, reduce inflammation, make you feel better, give you a better mind, better gut balance. And we all all know if all of those things are kind of not balanced, you're going to create disease, you're going to create illnesses and, you know, and kind of toxicities and stuff as well. And it is all about spending time on yourself, you know, and all of us can do it. It's not just business owners, you know, whatever. All of us can do it. It's just about either getting up an hour earlier or not watching TV, not being on Instagram, not getting sucked into celebrity lifestyle. It's kind of working on yourself, because like yourself, I don't want to be an unfit 60-year-old. I don't want to be an unhealthy 70-year-old. And I still want to walk in the room when I'm that age and feel attractive, you know, and feel that I am the best version of me that I could possibly be. But it's all these things that we're doing now that's going to help us get there. And it's not about going to an amazing plastic surgeon in America and having a facelift. It is all about the things that you're controlling day to day. You know, and I'm obviously able to see you today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, I was, I'm part of a really wonderful group that have connected via Zoom, interestingly enough, and we're writing some stories together. But we were talking about the darkness that sort of probably a lot of people are feeling at the moment around COVID and so on. And we were talking about actually, as human beings, we are the light. So, you know, we need to actually change our mindset about this whole time, because living in fear is not a healthy place to be. And I was sharing a story because I think the brain is the most amazing thing. And I was sharing a story about I've run 4 marathons in my life. I'm not going to do any more, but 4 was good. And I was told that I would never run because I was very asthmatic when I was little, and I decided I didn't think it was great to be asthmatic. So when I was training Simone, I was running around Cornwall, and as you know, Cornwall's pretty hilly.
It is.
And I found that the way, and it links into your story about facelifts, but the best form of a facelift is a smile. And true. It used to get me up the hills when I was at mile 23 during my training. I could feel the physiological change in my body when I started to smile. And, you know, the brain doesn't know what's going on. So you can kid the brain, and the brain's going, oh, Amanda's smiling up this hill. And then suddenly the brain will send through the neurons, will just send messages to the rest of your body saying, she feels good. Come on, body. And it's a fascinating thing. And we were talking about the challenge of at the moment, because we have to wear masks, about you can't smile at people in the street. But actually, I said, well, I think you can, because if you smile and you're doing a genuine smile, people will see that your eyes are smiling. And it's really important. So I think no to facelifts offered in anywhere in the States or anywhere else. But
no.
a smile is the best way to knock 20 years off the way you look.
It does. And like you say, even with the mask, you know, if you're healthy, your eyes shine, you know, and your eyes are kind of now our mouths, and, you know, the eyes sparkle, and I'm able to see you today, obviously, because we're doing this via video, and your skin's glowing, your eyes are glowing, you know, and it is all about, you know, what you're putting in internally as well as externally, and definitely with everything that you kind of do within the business. And talking about kind of products, do you have one go-to product, or do you have 5 products that are your, you know, live and die kind of products as such, that are your day-to-day life?
Yes. And, you know, you said about self-care. So part of my self-care ritual is I have a number of favorites. So my absolute go-to is our facial cleanser, which has got eucalyptus in as well. So you warm it between your fingers and then pop it on. And my ritual is I pop it on first thing in the morning and last thing at night, and leave it on either when I'm in the shower or clean my teeth, because it's on for 2 minutes then, and then take it off with a warm flannel. And it just smells so good. I mean, that's the only facial cleanser I've used for the near 20 years. And I've celebrated my 58th birthday this year, and people still say, your skin looks great, but it really decongests. And then my other products are, I use the exfoliator once a week, and especially with wearing a mask, if you're wearing a mask a lot, you need to really exfoliate and decongest the pores to make sure that your moisturizer is absorbed in. So our exfoliator has got hand-sifted chamomile stamen in. So you need a tiny amount of that. So that's my part of my, oh, I must do my once a week thing. And then I use a bit of we have a toner. So I understand about toners because they're important. People go, oh, I don't understand, but a toner is a really important part of my own ritual. And then I top it off with our daily Radiance facial oil, which is, the original name was Rose and Vanilla. And that's, to be honest with you, that those things are absolutely my daily rituals. Yeah. And then I also, if, because there are quite a few midges and mosquitoes here, I find that my other wonderful go-to product is Skin Solve with calendula, which has actually been amazing for people who suffer from eczema and psoriasis and damaged skin. And we use that as a mask as well. So occasionally I'll just lie and I'll use the Skin Solve with calendula as a mask, and it's absolutely brilliant for any sort of skin issues that I may have. I found it quite useful during menopause as well, because my hormones were raging and I was more prone to spots then. But so I sorry not be it to be able to reduce it to
no
to,
that's perfect
to just one. but those would be my definite go-tos. And we've recently launched a botanical hand sanitizer, which again is part of my ritual now, but because the sanitizers that are used generally are just alcohol driven and nothing good about them. So we used lemongrass and lavender and tea tree oil in ours. And so there's a beautiful oil blend that stays on the hands after. So part of us giving back was we gave stacks of that particular product to the NHS people working in really difficult circumstances. And that we've had really lovely feedback about it doesn't dry the hands. So it's good for any age. So yeah, those are my favorites at the moment, but they vary. But yeah, that's my daily special ritual using Made for Life.
And a couple of questions that I always like to ask everybody towards the end is, who has been your biggest inspiration, whether you were growing up, that's kind of led you to where you are now? It might have changed. Do you have somebody, or do you have a couple of people that are your inspiration and you absolutely love and admire?
Yeah, actually. And I have one person who is my inspiration. Do you know what? It was my mum. Oh. So my mum was not your usual mother. And she was perfect in an imperfect way. So what she did was she was very beautiful, and she was a debutante and came from a fairly well-to-do family. But she took me to yoga classes when I was 7. And I remember sitting at the back of a yoga class in the middle of Cheshire, which in the 60s. And I remember you said about us being almost like a memory map.
Yes.
And that we carry those things with us. And I remember her doing that. And she ran away from home. She, when I was 13 and my sister was 9. And you might think, oh my God, how can that woman be your heroine? But she was, because she was so unhappy and she wanted to take my sister and I with her. But she went and she ran off to Spain, ironically, with an artist called Jack Rutherford, and set up a retreat in the mountains in Spain. But what she taught me was to challenge the rules that life sets you, and to be brave. And she wrote me a very beautiful poem, which she gave me on my 16th birthday. It was before my 16th, because she died about 3 weeks before my 16th birthday. And I've always carried with me one sentence, and that was, be brave in this world, fear nothing, because fear is a canker that gnaws at the soul.
Beautiful.
But walk bravely. And you know what? That, for me, she did some amazing stuff. And so she's my heroine. I've been very blessed because I've met some amazing people who've supported and helped me along the way, like Romy Fraser from Neil's Yard and actually Sue Harmsworth. And lots of people have been so giving in terms of their support. But my mum is my absolute hero.
That's beautiful. It really is. And interestingly, where you said, you know, she was kind of different to other mums. My mum was always a bit like Ab Fab Sketch. It was always different. But, you know, she was an incredible lady, but had sometimes done things that you'd think, well, why would a mother do that? But, you know, she did it for kind of similar reasons, you know, things that were going on and sometimes to protect us. But we just don't realise it at the time. And yeah, like you say, it's one of my driving forces that has made me do what I do. And it's probably what my mum's put me through, the good and the bad, but it makes you more determined in life. And at the time you don't realize, but when you look back on life when you get older, you actually think, actually, it wasn't a bad thing. It's made me who I am today, and, you know, strong and independent, and, you know, want to, you know, thrive and succeed, but whilst looking after people and stuff as well. So it's, yeah, that was really, really beautiful. And this might be the answer to kind of the last question I was going to ask, kind of your favorite saying or quote or poem or book, which might be your mum's, you know, your mum's kind of permanent letter to you, but is there something else that kind of stands out or something that you would recommend to somebody to read that's kind of helped you at times?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the writings of Rumi and love some of the words written there. But the truth is that my anchor and the words that I always come back are the words in that poem that my mum wrote me, and the fear nothing. Because fear is a canker that gnaws at the souls and destroys the fruit. And there's something about, you know, resilience is a massive thing for all of us now. And to be resilient, you have to recognize and accept we're all vulnerable as well. And I think when I read those words, I remember my mum and I remember her vulnerability. And I remember we're all vulnerable, but her words make me hugely resilient.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. It really, really is. And what a great way to end kind of our chat today in the podcast of something so meaningful. And, you know, it's going to give a lot of light to a lot of people, you know, when they listen. And, you know, sometimes words have the most power, you know, to us as well, as can words have a negative effect. You know, words have a very, very strong feeling. And, you know, a lot of those words are going to resonate with a lot of people, I'm sure, that are going to listen to this, that they're probably going to want to rewind and kind of listen to it again. So thank you ever so much for sharing that with us, because obviously it's something very, very personal to yourself. Amanda, it's been absolutely amazing to speak to you today. For everybody that wants to find out more about yourself, about the business and where kind of the products are available, what's the website address and social media kind of pages as well?
Yep. So the website is www.madeforlifeorganics.com. And we are also on Facebook, and that's Made for Life Organics, and also on Instagram. And the lovely Pete, who works with me, constantly puts up different posts. So you'll find us at Made for Life Organics again. And my own Instagram is at Mandy Winwood. So if you're interested in life in Spain and birds and flowers and stuff, then you can follow me there too.
Incredible. Thank you ever so much. Hopefully you can go out and enjoy the rest of the Saturday afternoon and the sunshine and the lemons off the trees and the beautiful walks. But thank you ever so much. I know this is going to be a huge benefit for a lot of people, not just people that are going through illnesses, but maybe people that are ready to make a change in their life or kind of be a little bit more aware of what they're putting into their bodies and, you know, and the benefits of oils and botanicals and what's naturally around us in this, you know, amazing world that we have. So thank you ever so much. You look incredible. I know nobody can see you that I do, but for those listening, the skin is absolutely glowing. You look absolutely sensational. So whatever it is that you're doing, Everybody that's listening today, you are definitely going to want to start to do some as well, because Amanda looks absolutely beautiful and fantastic. So thank you so much. I hope you and your, was it your hubby or your hubster that you called him earlier?
I call him the hubster. So
the hubster. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you.
But thank you ever so much.
Yeah, and for anybody listening who needs a hug, I'm sending one now. Ready? Here it comes. There. Hold that thought and enjoy that virtual hug sent with much love.
Beautiful. And guys, all of you know that energy can travel around the world and around the universe. So just close your eyes and I'm guaranteed that it will make you feel very warm and very fuzzy inside just listening to that last bit of love and affection from Amanda. So thank you, Amanda, ever so much for today.
Thank you. Lovely.
Take care.
To you and you.
Lots of love. Thanks for listening. If you want to send me your questions, your emails, do. You can follow me and the podcast on social media. You can find me on Simone Thomas Wellness. I'm also Facebook, Simone Thomas Wellness World. And I'd just really love to hear from you.